being here. All right, so we're going to go ahead. Let's see if we can do our Bible confession, and then we'll see if we can get into the Word today. All right, today I will confess and believe that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Praise the Lord. Is that light out? All right, we're going to see if we can go ahead and get in the Word today. It's good, like I said again, you know, over the last few weeks, we've been doing a couple different messages regarding warfare and dealing with the Spirit of God and the enemy. And today, I want to go back to the book of Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6. Last week, you remember we talked about how we really have to do some things before we get to talking about the armor of God. The Bible talked about, you know, after having done all, then we can stand, you know, but the Bible has a series of things that were there that we needed to do before we could even talk about putting on the armor of God and standing. And we said that many times, people, because it's easier to, just as Sister Miranda was saying today, where people are talking about, you know, the metaverse and all these strange things people got. There are all kind of things that make it a lot easier to try and deal with spiritual issues instead of just the truth as Jesus laid it out for us. And we saw last week that Paul talked about how husbands were to deal with wives and wives to deal with husbands and how we're to deal with our bosses and how children are to deal with parents and all the things that most of us have a hard time doing. Sometimes we don't want to do. Sometimes we want to do it but can't get it done. And, you know, and these are the things that really matter to God is the stuff that's down to earth, the day-to-day interactions that we have as Christians. So today we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading at verse 10. We're going to read verse 10 through 20. All right, if you have it, just say amen. All right, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now we're going to go to the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to read some verses there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to read verse 3 through 6, and then we will see if we can get into this message a little bit here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his exaltation and that his ruling from heaven over each and every name, principality, power, and anything that could be named in this world or the world to come. We ask today that something that we say will minister to us as the body of Christ. Continue to help us to grow in grace that we might be all that you're calling us to be to the world and to you. Father, we ask it even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, today I'm doing a message that's entitled Authentic Spiritual Warfare. Authentic Spiritual Warfare. There's a lot to be said out there about spiritual warfare. People talk a lot about it. You hear it all the time. And you know, people are always talking about doing battle with the devil, right? And my thesis, though, and hopefully we'll see this when I get through these scriptures, is that what I call authentic spiritual warfare is not about winning power encounters with the devil, but really is about righteous living through persevering faith based on the truth of the gospel. Again, authentic spiritual warfare is not about winning power encounters with the devil, but is about righteous living through persevering faith based on the truth of the gospel. What does all that mean, Pastor? Well, last week, remember when I talked about before you get to putting on the armor of God, you know, and we talked about, you know, the armor of God and how people will, you know, there are whole books written about this and other things that people have. And they even had a time at one point where people would have people getting dressed in the morning, putting on the armor of God, you know, and it would be, I put on my helmet and I'm putting on my shoes and I'm putting on my breastplate. And you know, some things we just go to silly. You know, that we just need to realize that this is not what's going on in the scriptures. The Bible is clear that Jesus was crucified. When he died, the Bible says that Jesus went down into the depths of the earth. Then he preached to the captives there. And then the Bible says when he rose from the dead, he led captivity captive. And then he gave gifts to men. The Bible says that he descended first, that then he might also ascend so that he could fill everything. So Jesus now is Lord not only of heaven, he's Lord of hell, he's Lord of everything. Jesus said, I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I got everything. Now, when people look at the earth today, you know, from when the time he died, it's still hard for people to understand this. They'll keep saying, well, I'm just holding on, God, and I'm just hoping God, as if, like I said, God is still fighting with the devil. When actually, Jesus, by him dying like he did and being obedient unto death, descending into hell and coming back out, he disarmed Satan. As it relates to us, Satan don't have no weapon that he can use against the kingdom of God. This is why Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Satan is in a constant diminishing game. If we play it right, we continue to win people into the kingdom of God through our behavior, through our lifestyle, through our preaching, through everything we do. They look, some of them know. Satan will always blind the minds of some people. But look at what has happened since Jesus died. Jesus said, lest a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. He said, but if it dies, it's going to bring forth much fruit. Look at the number of people who have come to Christ since he died. The church has just expanded. Look at what has happened with mankind and the knowledge base. It's expanded. Now, yeah, the devil's playing around in it. He wants to, you know, talk about the metaverse and where we go. What they need to do is come up with a meta hell. That's a good one. You know, metaverse, you could go all these different places. They're coming up with all kinds of things that people can do, simulated. You know, put the little thing on and you go. They need a hell. One where you can literally go down into the flames and experience them. I think that would be a good one. Yeah, the meta hell. This is what y'all keep talking about. Well, your friends ain't here. You don't see them nowhere, do you? All you see is flames and all of you see big angels there grabbing people, throwing them in. Yeah, meta hell. They should try that. Why they so busy getting their other meta things? Try meta hell. You know, as I was riding in an Uber the other day, the guy decided he needed to witness to me. And I thought that was really good, you know. He turned and he started witnessing. And he said, you know, that one day, you know, Jesus is coming back. I said, yeah, I hear. And he said, you know, he said, the thing is that the rapture, when it takes place, you know, there'll be nobody left. It's no Christians. And it's going to be hell down here for 7 years. I said, well, what if it don't go like that? And then He turned, I said, you got to keep looking forward while you're driving. He said, well, you just need to make sure you're ready. He said, because, you know, it's going to be bad. I said, I don't understand it. I said, but I'm just saying, what if it don't go like that? He says, but what if it does? I said, but my point is, what if it don't go like that? I said, well, he said, what you mean? I said, what if Jesus don't come back before all the hell breaks loose? Do you think all the people waiting on this free ride out of here going to hang on to the end? Because Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Sounds to me like things might get pretty rough before Jesus shows up. And if everybody has this idea that somehow before things get really crazy, we all just going to disappear. Well, that's a pretty good way to go. But what if it don't happen like that? He said, well, brother, I guess you got, no, he said, well, sir, I guess you got a point. I said, well, I'm just saying. I was just curious. I was just wondering how you felt about that. I said, you just need to be ready to meet one way or the other. And that's when he finally caught it. He said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, yeah, kind of. And right then he pulled around the corner because he was bringing me back to the church. And he said, he just looked at the sign. He was like, and shook his head. I said, brother, God bless you. I hope the rapture works out for you like you're saying. If we both will see each other. If not, hang in there. However it goes, we're going to be waiting on Jesus. So the thing is, though, that he felt a need that even though I was a passenger, he wanted to share the gospel with me, at least to the extent he understood it. And this is what really makes the kingdom of God work, is the fact that Jesus is like, look, Satan's kingdom has been disarmed. Now, although he still is in the air deceiving all these people that we see deceived and tricking all these people he's tricking, that don't have nothing to do with the fact that Jesus is in heaven sitting on the throne ruling. I watch people who spend all the time when they talk about spiritual warfare looking at the book of Daniel, where they talk about how the princes and the Persia and this were fighting with each other, and we got to get out here and start calling down principalities and powers and naming them. And see, you go to New Orleans and we got to find it's the demon of or the prince of street gangs. And then they'll have you out there praying against the demon of street gangs in New Orleans. And if we can tear him down, then we might be able to do something in New Orleans. And that stuff is just not scriptural, y'all. Now, people like to make up stuff. Let me tell you why we make up stuff. People like power encounters. That's what I call it. That's why I say it. Actual spiritual warfare is not about winning power encounters. In other words, come out of him in Jesus' name. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? We like that kind of stuff. And that's nice. But wouldn't you like to just be able to walk the planet and know God just meets your needs and takes care of your life without you having to confront the devil everywhere you go? You ain't got to cast him off your job, cast him out to McDonald's, cast him out of Burger King, cast him out to police. Everywhere you go, you casting the devil out because he running so much stuff, right? When the reality is for us, that's not how that works. You walk in the bank already knowing. You a child of God. I was doing something the other day, and the lady said, how long did this take you? I said, like 2 weeks. She said, man, I just dealt with it. It took him 5 months. Ma'am, I ain't got nothing to do with him. It ain't take me 5 months. It took me 2 weeks. Look, the Lord runs what we do. I don't know who he deal with. I'm not trying to say he ain't a Christian, but I can say if you are applying things to your life in a way that you believe you're constantly having to fight the devil with everything, you're misinformed. You got to realize we serve the one in charge. Now, the Bible, and I don't even know how else to tell people this. Authentic spiritual warfare is not about running around beating up the devil every day. It's really about understanding when Paul said, okay, this is what I need you to do. I want you to take on the whole armor of God. The only other place when he talks about spiritual warfare, even, he starts talking about, we saw it in Corinthians, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshy. But they're mighty through God to what? Pulling down strongholds. That's why when this guy started talking to me, he was having trouble resisting what I was saying because he had no scripture to back up what he was saying. When he said, well, we all just going to disappear. I understand people going to still be able to get saved, but it's going to be hard for them while they're here. I said, okay, but just help me with this then. If they're going to be able to get saved, I thought the reason the devil got cut loose was because the Holy Ghost leaves. They said the Holy Ghost leads with the church because that's what everybody say. He's the restrainer. Everybody keeps saying, when he that restrains is taken away, then the devil gets to bust loose. Well, if the devil busts loose because the Holy Ghost and the church is gone, how you going to get saved? Who going to preach? Well, I'm just asking, if we all gone, who going to preach? All the Christians gone. We just gone. Now, the airplanes done crashed. The buses done do. My Uber gone crazy because my Uber driver just left. I'm in the back trying to figure out how I got left behind. who gonna preach? I don't get me wrong. I ain't trying to upset nobody's apple cart. I'm just trying to get people to understand some people living in some metaverses that might not quite be what you're thinking. The reality is that God says in many places in the scriptures that demons teach stuff even. You do know that, right? They teach stuff. And this is how they mislead humans. Because they can't, whether you believe this or not, very few demons can get involved physically in this realm. God don't let them just do that. They might cause somebody to hurt you. In other words, someone under demon oppression or whatever hurt you because you're in a situation wherever you ain't supposed to be neither. You all up in the club thinking you can club Christian-like. And the Lord gonna watch you and then have a bullet just happen to fly that way that day. You just on the wrong territory. You need to stay out of Ukraine if you don't want to get shot at. Bottom line is, stay out of some of them places, right? It's not that the devil was after you. He was after somebody else and you just happen to be in the wrong place. That's what a lot of that has to do with. The Bible says plainly, you want your marriage to work? Let me tell you how you do it. Stop trying to cast the devil out. And wives, submit to your husbands. Husband, love your wife. Let's try that to start, he says. Yeah, submit one to another. Husband, love your wife. Cry, you know, wife, submit to your husband. Can we do that first? Before we in the closet rebuking the devil and you know, trying to cast the devil out the husband, the devil out the wife. You know what I'm saying? Can we just try to do what the Bible say first? And we start by going to the word that says, before we get a husband or a wife, let's ask God. And then if they don't know God, don't marry them. See, he give us instructions. Oh, but she's so fine. He's so good looking. Maybe the Lord put me in their life to save them. Jesus is the Savior, not you. So you need to make sure they saved and know God before you do anything. And if they don't, just do what the Bible say. That's spiritual warfare. Walk away. You see, that's what that is. And it ain't casting the devil, going to tell Pastor pray, lay hands on him, maybe this all. We ain't doing all that. We talking about authentic spiritual warfare. The devil is, he ain't got nothing on anything that got to do with us. Let's talk about what Paul said. Paul said, therefore, after having done all this stuff, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, I'm going to read through this right quick again. He says this. Finally, my brethren, and y'all don't have to put any scriptures up. I'm just going to read right quick. He said, finally, my brethren. This is finally after all this other stuff he's done now. He says, be strong in the Lord. Not yourself, not your own power, not your own might, none of that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then he said, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. See, devil always trying to trick you. See, he ain't got to put his hands on you. He just got to trick you. If he can trick you, then he can get you out where he wants you at. So I got to put on the whole armor of God so I don't get tricked. Then he starts telling me. Now, I don't care where the armor go right now, y'all. Y'all got to understand something. Paul is writing, and many of his writing is kind of like, in a way, almost like poetry in a way. I don't care if you put your breastplate on your head. Right now, Paul was trying to get you to understand something, okay? Because in other places, he names these things as a different thing. He might say the glove of peace. Well, I thought the shoes was peace, Paul. Paul like, no, all I'm talking about is peace. It's just in this conversation right now, I'm talking about gloves make better sense. So I'm going to use gloves instead of boots. But right now, I'm talking about standing against the devil in a warfare. So I'm going to use armor. And I'm going to name the things that matter, but don't get hung up on where they fit or go or where you put them. Get hung up on the armor. Look at what he says. He says this. In your battle, he says, because we wrestle not. See, I've heard people talk about this. See, this is wrestling is a contact sport. They'll spend the whole sermon talking about wrestling. So that's why when you're down praying, the devil, you're wrestling with him in prayer. I don't wrestle. The devil don't even come to my prayer. Okay, he is not allowed. When I'm praying, the devil is not allowed to come stand next to me, be around me, or nowhere around when I'm praying. I ain't wrestling with him. I'm thinking, well, look at what happened with Daniel. Daniel had to pray in 21 days it took. Right, before Jesus came, you're absolutely correct. It sure did. Before Jesus descended down here, it did take Daniel 21 days while them demons was fighting. Because what? They had authority down here to withstand the forces. So when Michael had to come and help them out so he could break through and get there. But you see how good this sounds? How this makes up for, we could be like little superhumans. We get to pray against these demons and wait out God for him to bring us an answer. Instead of just trusting in Jesus, which is just so weak, petty. Who want to just trust in Jesus? I mean, I got Jesus, but I want to have something to do with this now. That's really deep down a lot of people. That's what Sister Miranda was talking about this morning, about restoring people in meekness. People love to tell you about yourself. Oh, especially the ones that ain't done what you did. You know, when you done really messed up, you know, some of us can mess up. I'm sorry, y'all, you can't cover it up. There's some of us, y'all know you done messed up. You messed up bad, but we don't, none of us know. It's so covered up, we just don't know. It was a hidden sin. It's so hid, don't none of us know. We be looking cute, wonderful. Everybody think you grand and great. That's because your stuff was never in the paper. It ain't never nowhere. We can find it at the clerk of court's office. It ain't nowhere. But God got it. I mean, he do. God got it. I know you ain't never been to prison. Ain't nobody found out about none of that. But you did some stuff now. That's just hidden off somewhere. All right? So God is aware of these things. But people love to assert themselves over people. This is what the people said to Jesus, the Pharisees. They said, these people don't know, the ones who kept saying, but look at all he's doing. He's got to be the Messiah. These people don't know nothing. They sinners. That was the response of the priest. We know God. We Pharisees. We got the Bible. We teach it. These people are ignorant. They sinners. They don't know God. How can they know that that's Jesus, that he's the Messiah? We know. Because why? Because we're so righteous. All you got to do is watch both sides of the abortion thing to me. Both sides are like that to me. One side over here hollering about everybody got a right to their body. This side over here hollering ain't nobody got a right to nothing. And everybody telling everybody who going to hell and who whatever. And they all hollering and screaming. And each side feels comfortable blowing up something. I'm blowing up to protect the babies and I'm blowing up to protect the women. Everybody blowing up something and ain't figured out yet. I don't believe that God is in the middle of any of that blowing up anything. There's got to be a point where people have to understand. It is, how are we being tricked by what we're listening to and what we're being taught? And instead of receiving the word, which helps us to do actual warfare, we end up out here doing all the mostest, as they say, the young people say, doing the mostest, right? Look at what he says. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, we know he's not talking about contact spirit, but he was trying to make it clear. This is a big deal what you in. You got to understand it. He says, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So you've got all these spirits that they were disarmed, but they were not caged yet. In other words, Jesus disarmed them as it relates to us and their authority over us in the kingdom of God. They have no power over us at all. However, that does not mean that they are not still there, menacing and doing what they're doing. You know, today some of this is referred to, and hopefully no one gets too frustrated with me. Stay with me, you understand. Some of this is being referred to nowadays as peaceful protests. You know, in other words, I'm in front of your house hollering, screaming. I could be waving anything. As long as I guess it, I don't throw it through the window, I'm peaceful. That's how the devil is. He marching all up and down in front of your street, hollering, screaming at you and doing whatever he's doing. He can't touch you now, but he won't make you believe he can. Because he can't. Once he touches you, that's against the law. That's illegal. The idea, though, is to try to intimidate you maybe into what? Submission. Do what I want. If you don't, I'm going to get you, the devil says. And you're like, devil, you can't get me. You don't have any authority over me. You don't have anything. Although all this stuff is up there, all these things, Jesus disarmed them. The Bible says he led captivity captive. That's it. It's over. There are no spirits that have authority over the believer. You got to get that in your mind. That's like my father would tell me when I go to school. Son, you have teachers and stuff, but I'm your daddy. He was trying to make clear to me, look, you make sure when you go to school, I don't care what they're telling you. When it's over, you check with me if you got a question about something. Because I'm your father. Them people not your daddy. I'm your daddy. He was setting authority so I was clear. That's why they can't say what trips I go on. They can't give me permission to go on a trip. They can't let me get injured and don't tell my daddy. You know, my parents, they have a right to know. They are in charge of me. They have a right to know. Now, today, you know, the way some people talking, they're like, you don't know who got charge, I get. The parents are crazy, so, you know, we teachers need to take charge of them. Understand, principally, God has authority over us as believers. To the extent we recognize it and walk in it, we see. Now, this is what he says. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? Because you're dealing, all this foolishness is going on. And since all this foolishness is going on, like Sister Miranda said today, the metaverse and all this crazy stuff demons are talking. I ain't saying her family was demons. But all that demon crazy talk about these different things of how life works and how spiritual things are and what happens to you when you die. When all this stuff is coming at you, it's coming from these same teachers that are being spoken through by these same spirits that's trying to trick you. So what do you do? He says, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. The only way you're going to be able to withstand this stuff is you're going to need to take the armor of God. He said, after have you done everything else, now you stand. Okay? Now I've done everything we talked about before. Now I got to stand. See, I got to stand. Stand and do what? He says, have your loins girt about with truth. Now, forget your loins. I don't care about that right now. We can be a lot of talk about why I put the belt on. I don't care about that. I care about one thing right now, truth. Now, you listen to people out there today and hear them tell you, there's no such thing as truth. You have your truth. I have my truth. I'm living to my true self. You live to your true self. You don't have a right to tell me what's true. No, but God does. If there is a God, and this is what we as Christians have to be able to say, if there is such a thing as God, then he has a truth. And as Christians, we have declared we believe Jesus. Now, if we believe Jesus, then Jesus has told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. All right, so then if we're going to be Christians, we recognize there's one truth. That truth is Jesus. That's it. See, so now stand. Ugh. I know he's teaching all this stuff. I know he's saying all what he's saying. I hear you. I know what you said about this one and that one and this God and that God and them ancestral spirits we left in Africa. But you know what? Stand. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It don't matter what you're hearing, don't matter how they say it. Did you hear from Bookie Wookie? He said that they found some tablets in the cave in Rwanda. And those tablets, when you read them with special glasses, shows you that the God Tubuga, he is really the Messiah. And that the Jews stole it from Tabuka. And you're supposed to shake your head and say, let me just stand. See, this ain't got nothing to do with your husband, your wife, lest you go home and tell them that crazy. Let me tell you what I heard today, honey. And he's like, who told you that? Well, I know what pastors say, but, I mean, we might want to look at this book. You need to go tear that book up, burn it, and leave that alone. Stand. Truth. Get some truth. But you see what people are going to tell you. Well, see, that's so-and-so religion. That came from here. That came from there. That came from these people. That came from them people. The reality is you either understand where your faith came from or you don't. If you don't, you need to go study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth so you can stand. Because if you don't know where your faith came from, see, some people, I'm telling you, only they're Christians because they were born, their mom and them was Baptist. Or they was Catholic or something, because down here, that's all you could be. Yesterday, went to Catholic church, Uncle Joe funeral. Hey, everybody in there, the nun saying her thing, the priest saying his thing, and people saying it by heart. I mean, you know, the priest was reading and they was all saying stuff by heart. They know it by heart. Now, whether or not that makes sense, who knows? But I know one thing. Some of them Catholic simply because they was born that way. You try to ask them, are you Baptist? Whatever they were, they was born that way. They was raised that way. There's some things that I know simply because my daddy took me to church. And the preacher said it so much that it just got stuck in my head. It just did. The way we do communion, that got stuck in my head. That when I went to school, I was like, oh, I know that's how they do it, and it's okay. But this is how we did it growing up. The Lord said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then they would break it. Now, y'all might say, well, is that how it ought to be done? Well, I don't know, but that's how they did it at our church when I was raised. Right, so all of a sudden, you realize, well, did somebody teach you that way, Pastor? Well, it say when they broke it, they broke it. Yeah, and the Catholics do it too. They break it, so it made sense to me. But it's not in the Bible that you have to do it that way. And as long as we understand, there's nothing in the Bible that says you have to do it this way. You have to take the bread and break it. Because actually, Jesus broke it and gave it to them. Yeah, he didn't break it and then eat it. He broke it and gave it out. Why? Because he had no choice. You ain't got here a big loaf of bread. He gonna pass it around? Here you take pass it around, Brother Lynch. You know what I mean? Everybody break a piece off, break it. No, Jesus broke it and handed up, broke it and handed. That's how why he broke it. He didn't break it. Because there was something mystical going on here. See, so all of a sudden I realized, well, this is why I do what I do. I understand my truth. This is why when I go to school, the teacher can't tell me that. Oh, they be lying in wait to tell your children, in the Old Testament, you do know there's no such thing as Satan, right? They can't wait to tell them. Everything, the word Satan, every time it's used, it's the, and then the word Satan, the word that's used for Satan, adversary. The adversary, the adversary. So there's no proper noun of the name Satan. So even when you get into Job, they say, you do know that, don't say Satan. It says the Satan. Now, let me ask you a question. Your name is Roderick, right? Right. Well, do you call yourself the Roderick? Well, no. Well, then why would Satan be called the Satan? Well, it's not. It says Satan, right? That's because when they changed it, they took the Satan out. And then you go like this. And then you find out it's true. They took the out. And now you all confused. Now, because you think, so, no, that's right. See, they changed the Bible. Right, but let me ask you a question. Is there such a thing as an adversary to God from the beginning? They don't want to answer that question. See, that's what your child's supposed to be able to come back and say. Oh, stop, sir. I understand that may be the Satan. And I don't call myself the Roderick. But is there a being throughout the Bible, supernaturally evil, that opposes God? And although he may have others that are adversaries, is there such a being? Now, more likely they're going to say, oh, you're one of those people that believe in the devil. Well, at least now your child and got them off of them. See, now your child got them on reverse. Now what they're going to do is heap an insult on your child. That's how you got to do it. You know, first, if I can't convince you, then I insult you. Or you one of them Jesus freaks. Or something like that to make you shirk off, you see. Because I can't what? Convince you. See, then once I can't convince you, and then once I can't embarrass you, then I try to kill you. That's when they try to kill you then. They don't try to kill you until they can't embarrass you back into your hole. But right now, the way the country is, you ain't got to worry about getting killed on camera. They're going to be fine, right? But at least they can go home now and come back to church and don't be sitting back there going like this. Because they've been sitting up in a college class now, and I'm trying to preach, and they looking at me like, poor pastor, he don't know about the Satan. he didn't have original Hebrew and all of that. And it's like, stop it. Truth, truth, truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But you can't just stick with saying Jesus. Because Paul said, if somebody comes to you and preaches another Jesus, which tells me there could be multiple Jesuses getting preached. People say, well, Pastor, I go to church, they preach Jesus. I wouldn't care what they preach. Do they preach the word of God as Jesus preached it? If that's the case, then we good. But it don't matter you saying Jesus. Is that the true Jesus? That's how you're going to stand. See, other than that, you're going to be all over the place. That's why the Bible says, toss to and fro. What? Let me do this. I didn't give them this scripture. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 back there. I'm sorry, I didn't give you all these scriptures, but it just came to my mind. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 8. Now, this is what it says in verse 8. I'm going to read verse 8, and I'm going to read all the way down to verse 15. I'm going to start at verse 8. Watch this. Now, this before we get to the armor of God. Now, he says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended, being Jesus up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, what gifts did he give them? We're going to see. Now that he ascended, that it is, but also that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Until when? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking what? The truth. In love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Bottom line is, Jesus went down into hell. He came up leading captivity captive. Every demon, every thing that could have been, he got them in chains. Leading captivity captive. Y'all. And it's trained, just like in the way soldiers would when they would win. The conquering king is riding. He has his army behind him, which was all the saints that were down in the on the cool side of hell, we like to call it, the side where Abraham was. All of them come first, and then all of your slaves, who are, i.e., the people you defeated in battle, they last, and they come in chains. And the king comes riding in on his horse. This is what God says happened. Jesus went down to hell, defeated all that, come up out the grave, ascended on high, leading captivity captive, bringing Abraham, all them with him, and then behind them, every demon got them chained up like this so that everyone could see every principality, every power that Jesus rules now from heaven all the way straight down to the bottom of hell. He's in charge. And then he gave gifts to men. This is what the king does. The king would come back. He would win a war somewhere. He'd get all the gold, everything. He'd take all the people's stuff. He would ride through the gates. Here come the people. All of the citizens would run out to meet him, which is basically what's going to happen in the rapture. All the citizens run out to meet him, and then they would go back into the city with the king. And then the king would give out stuff to the people. Hey, you know, we went down there, took all them people gold. Hey, here, have a meal, have a bottle of wine, have this, have that. He would give out stuff to his people. This is what Jesus said he did. He went up on high, led captivity captive, then he began to give gifts to men. What did he give them? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? To perfect his people so they could understand the truth. The devil is defeated. All of his principalities, all of his power, everything he had over you was ripped out of his hand. He don't control nothing. And everything going on with you, God is in charge of it, which would make you stop and say, oh, hold up a minute then. See, when my life all off the rail, I'm supposed to stop and say, okay, God, hold up a minute now. And if I'm honest with myself, like I try to be, I'm not always, I know, But most of the time, when I'm honest with myself, there's nothing in my life that's not jacked up that I didn't jack it up with some decision I made. No, I'm serious. Even the people that was in my life I ain't like. That woman I just tent. Come on now, how you got that woman? She just showed up, huh, in your life. She just planted herself in your life. Some kind of way she just hooked on to you and you ain't had nothing to do with it. Liar, liar, your pants on fire. You know you did that. There's something about it that you wanted to have, something going on. I know you just felt like you needed to help the helpless, huh? Ah, there was something about her, something about him, something that drew you to them. And even if you was just being nice, you know, you just want, like I say, help the helpless, then you still got issues. Because you ain't Jesus. You got to realize you're not here to help the helpless. And if you got to help the helpless and you tried to help them and then all of a sudden you hated them, you realize you ain't a helper in the helping business. That ain't how you supposed to do that. When they tell you, when you go to work at like the homeless shelters and all that, you got to not be a person that get mad. Because you'll give them something and they'll steal your money. You give them stuff there. Look, I helped that homeless man once. He had a problem with drugs. I let him stay in the church. Remagnum, I mean, we used to be over on the airline highway. And I let him stay in the church. He was going to help us clean up everything. And he did good for a little while. Then one day I come to the church. All my little stuff was gone. And I was so upset. And I couldn't find him. And he was using one of my trucks. And my truck was gone, everything. So one night I was laying in the bed asleep, and it came to me. I said, remember where he told you he used to be when you first met him? Go there. Now, it wasn't the Holy Ghost. I wanted to say it was the Holy Ghost, but it really wasn't the Holy Ghost. The devil was trying to send me to prison that day. So I got my billy club, graphite. My dad was a police, military policeman. I got the little graphite billy club, just in case, you know, I might run into something out there. And I drove up quietly into the neighborhood, and there was my truck. The tail grate was down, and there he was, sleeping in the back of my truck. So I creeped up with my graphite billy club. And I hit the tailgate. I'm gonna kill you, I said. He jumped up. Oh, Pastor, please don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. I don't know what happened. Oh, I know what happened. But I tell you what's gonna happen now. Please don't hit me, Pastor. Don't hit me. I said, man, I ought to knock your head off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now. In Jesus' name, you don't stole my stuff. I didn't hit him. I went on, took my truck, left him there. But I learned a lesson. First of all, don't let a homeless man live in your church. But I wasn't ready for that. This man wasn't ready to be helped like that. And even to the extent you wanted to, when he stole from me, it hurt me so bad that I realized, you know, you wasn't helping him just because, nah. No, you was helping him because, what, he was helping you. Yeah, I started helping him. He helping me doing stuff around church. We got mutual exchange going. Well, when he stole everything, I should have been able to say, bless him, Lord, right? Because I'm only doing this for his good. Mm-mm. That's when it came out. That's when you got to realize sometimes you got to understand what's going on with you, right? Truth is important to understand why we do what we do. Look at the next thing he says. Righteousness. He says, take on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, some people, like I said before, they run around wearing their own righteousness. Now, in the book of Galatians, I told put this verse up there, Galatians 2, verse 21. Look at what Paul said. Righteousness now. So righteousness is important. Righteousness. All right? Put that up there. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. See, the next thing the way you protect yourself, you got truth. But the devil gonna start hitting you about you. Well, I know you talking all that, but you know you done had 65 wives.
What you gonna say? It's true. And it can feel pretty bad when you know you trying to tell people about God and living right and you done had 65 wives. Well, what you gonna say? You just gonna put your little tail between your legs and go sit down somewhere because you know you ain't right. But ain't nobody right. Now, this don't mean that you go around bragging about what you did. But the point is, who you, what? I ain't right. Well, I know I ain't right. That's why I needed Jesus. I don't live wrong, but at the same time, I can't live in my past. When God forgives you of your sin, you got to let it go. Because the truth of the matter is, it ain't about your righteousness no way. This is what makes it a competition with people. So, you know, I'm sitting up here, like I said last week. Well, glory to God. Me and the wife married 102 years. Praise the Lord, having our 100th anniversary. And then all I can do is sit there and go, praise the Lord. I'd be on my 100th. I am on my 100th, but I've had about 100 wives. So, but you add all them years together, I got 100 years anniversary. You know, don't stand up and say nothing. Because now you got rhythm right in front of you. When I don't know what's going on up in there, them 100 years, I don't know how y'all deal with each other, don't deal with each other, but that ain't got nothing to do with your righteousness. Thank God that he blessed you in such a way that you were able to do that. That's a wonderful thing. Great. But what that got to do with your righteousness? See, your righteousness is about Jesus and what he did. Period. Once Jesus did what he did, period, you now are righteous. This is how you can go to prison and tell a murderer. If you believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, you can be saved. I don't care how many people you kill. Now, the world may be mad, and the people who relatives you kill might be mad, but them people might end up in hell, and you end up in heaven. The point is your righteousness is in Christ. Now, you may have to pay for what you did while you're here. Got it. But the point is, your righteousness, your right standing now is Christ. See, once you get that, man, can't nobody change your mind. You can say anything you want to say about me. I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to let them spirits feed your mind with all that doctrine and all that craziness. But I'm going to stand right here because as I'm standing, I'm going to stand in the righteousness of Christ. Not the righteousness that you're trying to put on me, paint me with. See, I, if I don't understand it, what I do is I create doctrine. This is how churches get to a place where, well, if this has happened in your life, you can't do this. And if this happened in your life, you can't do that. And look at what Jesus said. If this happened, you're damned to hell. And that ain't what he said. People got to pay attention. The righteousness that is of God is not of the law. It's of Christ. Anything you think you could do to earn God's righteousness, you off. You got to understand it. There are people preaching stuff across the pulpit, and they so, they just know they know. Ain't nothing but the doctrine of demons. That's what Paul said. Paul said there will be people in the last days preaching doctrines of devils. Christ and Christ alone. And if you come to Christ and bring all your garbage, well, Pastor, what if I sin afterwards? If any man sin, let him ask the Father, and he'll forgive him of his sin. Yeah, but I do it all the time. Jesus said, if a man sin against you 7 times in a day and turn and ask you to forgive him, you must forgive him. So are you sincere would be the only question I would ask you. When you went to God, I know you did it 15 times today. When you went back, were you sincere? Well, I was as sincere as I can know how to be. Well, that's the only sincere you can be. You can't make yourself no more sincere than you know how to be. But we all know when we sincere. That's what I try to tell people. You don't need no bunch of introspection. I'm trying to figure it out. You don't need to figure it out. We all know when I look at you or you look at me and you say, how you doing today? You know if you care or not. And when I start talking, y'all know what I'm talking about. And when I start talking, y'all know, man, I got somewhere to go. This pastor talking. Pastor trying to tell me a life story. I ain't got time to hear this here. You ask the man how you doing, he take it for real. He think you really want to know how he doing. I'm trying to get out of here. I was just trying to be nice. How your wife, Pastor? Well, let me tell you. Oh, we lied. We're going to keep you in prayer. Don't be lying to me. If you say that to me, you better put my name down somewhere. Well, pal, we're going to keep you in prayer. We all say that to people, but sometimes we're not thinking to pray. Your righteousness is of Christ. Think about how great that is. Everything you owe God for the sin you commit today, tomorrow, or whenever, Christ paid it. Wow. That's amazing. You tell me what demon you can't fight with that. Because the bottom line is they always coming at you trying to make you feel like you don't deserve nothing, no way. You feel like you shouldn't get nothing. The reason you got problems in your life is because of your sin, and you ain't never going to get right because of what you did. That's just the way it is. You might as well give it up. There's some things that people do, they don't never get another chance, we say. What you going to do? Put the righteousness of Christ on. Because if your righteousness comes by the law, guess what? Christ is dead in vain. Then the gospel. Look what he says. He says the gospel. So he says, first, take truth. Second, righteousness. Third, the gospel. What is the gospel? Look at Romans 1, 15 through 17. 15 through 17. Put that verse up there. So as much as I is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Why the gospel? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. See, it's the gospel. That's the power of God. What gospel? The good news. What? It don't matter who you are. Don't matter what you did. Jew, Gentile, male, female, bond or free. God has set you free if you will believe that Jesus, he rose from the dead for your justification. Wow. You mean God will accept me no matter what? Why do you think when people want to get married to somebody, they don't want to tell them all their business at the first time? Some people don't tell all their business ever. Seriously, they are married to some people who do not know everything about them. Well, okay, and we all know why. Because we ain't so sure they gonna like us like they like us. Why ain't it just the truth? I mean, there could be some things about us that we know about us and God knows about us because he the only one know. I was talking to a man once. He told me he had a dog. And he kept trying to get rid of the dog. Dog wouldn't stay gone. He said he took the dog, drove all the way to Mississippi with the dog, and threw the dog off the side of the road, down the little gully. Say he heard the dog go, "Arr!" when he threw him off the side. Now, most of us would be like David was, right, when we heard about Bathsheba and the sheep. That man should die, y'all say, right? Who would do that to a little dog? But he did. That's what he told me. And it took me a long time to look at him the same way. But he was saved before he told me about the dog story. Why would he not be saved now? Jesus forgave him, and he trusted me enough to think he could share with me something he'd never shared with anyone because he just wanted to get it off his chest. But do you know how hard it was for me to say, "Oh, dude, it's cool. People take dogs and throw them off the bridge all the time." That's not what I was feeling. I was kind of feeling like, "Wow, dude, how could you just take a poor dog and throw him off the bridge?" He had his reasons, and they all sounded legit. He said every time he tried to lead a dog, he said it don't matter how far he took him, the dog found him. Come back to the house. So he figured if he could throw him off the gully, he wasn't trying to hurt him, but to get him way down there, then he wouldn't find his way back, and the dog didn't. And I thought, yeah, that might be because he broke his legs or something, and the dog couldn't get out, and something might have ate him or something, and poor dog. Right, but poor him. Imagine this man's being tortured in his conscience now by demons. That's what's going on. Bro, you're saved. Jesus forgave you. You're all right. So why are you carrying that for all these years? Because he's being tortured by these spirits, trying to make him believe that ain't no way God. No, bro, when you get to heaven, that dog video gonna run. And it don't matter what you did. I know you asked Jesus to forgive you, but dying on the cross wasn't enough. That dog video gonna run, and God gonna get you for it. Why are you tormenting him? You see, the gospel is the good news. See, when we declare the gospel to people, this is how we stand. This is how we're making battle with the devil. We tell them the truth. We got our righteousness, and we give them the gospel. And we keep the gospel in our hearts, knowing that what? No matter what, we have been saved by the gospel. Faith. Faith, he says next, take the shield of faith. I don't care if it's a shield or shoes. Faith is what's important. So we've got truth, we've got righteousness, we've got the gospel, we got faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things you hope for, the evidence of things you have not seen. People say, well, you ain't never seen Jesus, and you ain't never seen Pookie. So guess what? We don't care. What that got to do with truth? Faith is the substance of things I hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, you believe that stuff because you ain't got no other hope. Well, you're right. I have no other hope except Christ. I've never seen him, but I'm hoping and believing that what is said is true. I keep standing. So everybody, all these teachings and things that try to come at me about what you ain't seen and what you see is science and all that stuff, I'm standing firm on my faith because there's absolutely no reason I would believe a story like that other than faith that has been birthed in my heart. That's the only reason. It's the only reason I believe it. Faith, stand. Paul said this is part of your armor. Faith, you can't throw your faith away because if you throw your faith away, the devil always going to be coming at you with something. Somebody died. I thought you said God was in charge. If God's so in charge, why did that Christian die? You better have faith that God's in charge. Because the more they attack you about what ain't going on in the world and how Jesus ain't doing a very good job of running it if he's in charge. But the point is, he's in charge of us. Well, he ain't doing a good job of running y'all neither. That's what some people say. Right. But we never were said to be perfect. He gave us gifts. Why did he give gifts? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? To teach, to help, till we all become what? Mature, till we all grow up, till we all get to the place we're supposed to. And if we don't before he comes back, well, we'll go back with him. But for now, he's given us these gifts to lead us and keep us and guide us and shepherd us. This is why Paul, Peter, and all of them were given to establish the foundation of the church so we could understand. The prophets and all the others that tell us what is happening. The teachers and the pastors and the evangelists that do what? Help us to continue to grow and to stay what? Founded and firm and forget all them demons out there and what they're saying. Stand firm knowing that what? God's got your life in his hands. Salvation. Salvation. He says that's part of your armor. Your salvation. You know that you are saved. People say, well, how you know? Because the Bible already told me what I got to do. Confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and I am saved. So when the teacher telling me, how you know you're saved? I know I'm saved because God told me so. And I told y'all this last week, well, that's in a book. Everything, sir, you're telling me is in a book. If we in philosophy class, you told me to go buy whoever on philosophy. This is psychology 201. You told me to go buy fraud and whoever else. Psychology 303. All you got is a bunch of men writing books. So why I can't believe this book? They ain't got no answer. Right. Sit down. Leave me alone. That's what they supposed to be able to say. I'm not trying to hear all that. You think you smart. You ain't been around 80 years, most of them. You trying to tell me about the Bible. That's how your child's supposed to respond. That's how we're supposed to respond. We have salvation. Why? Because we know we believe in Christ. God has assured us that if you confess with your mouth, you're saved. That's it. You ain't got to be looking for no signs of salvation. Well, did you see a star over your house? Did you see have a dream about God? I don't need none of that. I just need to confess with my mouth. That's what God told me. I believe God. How you know that's right? Because I have faith in what God said. That's part of my armor. Then the word of God. Ooh, Lord. The word of God is something now. See, you pull the word of God out on them. Talk about your armor. You pull the word of God out and it just gets to cutting up everybody and everything. The word sets it right. The word gets everything the way you want it. Anything going on in your life where the devil starts trying to mess with you, just pull out the word and you're going to find your answer. It's in there. It don't matter what it is. And if it ain't in there, God done gave you freedom to make up your mind. Yeah, that's all you got to do. Look, I used to live my life. Let me tell you how I really used to get in trouble. I used to live my life when, if I didn't see it in the Word, I would let people convince me the reason certain things would happen must be God. Right. So this lady called me, right, once. This lady, before I got married, Sister Lord. She said, God told me you're going to be my husband. Now, ain't nothing in the Bible that say God might not tell some woman called you say she's going to be your husband. I mean, wife. So, but he do say who should be. They should be a Christian, et cetera, right? Well, she's a Christian. Went to the church. Matter of fact, she says she's a prophetess. That's why she knew. Oh, Lord, I'm about to really get in trouble now, right? If she a prophetess and God done told her, well, I better do what God say. See, I used to live my life almost like that. Well, maybe it's God. I don't want to miss him. You know, you're scared. Y'all know how they people get you scared you might miss God? You might miss him. This might be God trying to help you. You better go check your mailbox. Could be God. You better answer the phone. You don't know who that number is. Let me say this to you. Any number that ain't in your phone you don't recognize, let them leave a message. You sitting there talking about, well, it might be this important call I'm waiting on. And you ain't got the name in there? Anytime I'm waiting on a call from anybody that's important, I put important call. Even if I don't know who they are. They done called me before and I'm waiting, I just put in important or something. Something to tell me I've seen this number before. If I don't see that, I just let it go to voicemail. And if they care, they leave me a message. Hey, this is so-and-so. This is what I like. And I call them right back. Folks, if God needs you, he know where to find you. If God wants you to do something and you can't find it in that word, I wouldn't move. I would stand right there. The devil ain't about to trick me. No, sir. Don't it look like what you thought? Mm-hmm. Don't it smell like what you thought? Mm-hmm. Don't it seem like what you thought? Mm-hmm. But God ain't said nothing yet. Now, how you know when God says something? When he says something? When I know. Yeah, when I look at her and say, woo, girl. God say, you my wife. And she say, yes, and I'm your wife. Okay, well, we good then. But until then, she's steadily telling me, God, look, God said it. Don't drop dead. You know what happens when you don't obey God? People drop dead. Now I'm scared. If I don't marry, I'm going to drop dead. And I'm like, you need to stop. The word of God is your shield. It will protect you in every single situation. Just stand firm. I've had people tell people that. People come to me, Pastor, I was talking to this man. He said, I left church. He says, I'm going to die. I said, that's what he told you, huh? He said, yeah, if I didn't come get his permission, I'm going to die. I said, well, okay, you find that. Did you see that in the Bible anywhere? Nope. Well, then, don't worry about it. Well, what if I die? Well, you ain't going to know. You get there, Jesus will. What you gonna do? You gonna wake up, Jesus, and say, the man tried to tell you. Don't worry about it. Walk by faith. Stop letting people mess with your heads. Use the Bible. That's why God gave it to us. I don't understand why people don't get this. God gave us this so that people, enemies, demons can't trick us. It don't matter how much they say, they can't trick us. Now why did I bring up the one? Do I bring up the one about marriage so much? Because a lot of times what happens is Jesus made a plain statement about that once. And he said, for this cause only. And the man said, well, if that's the reason, man shouldn't even get married. Jesus said, you're right. Jesus was not saying don't go get married. His point was God does not tolerate divorce any more than he tolerate murder. It don't matter what excuse you come up with or how you come up with it. He don't tolerate that unless it's this one thing. He said, adultery? Okay, God got it. God divorced Israel for adultery. I got it. But other than that, he says, uh-uh. Now, people say, so you saying you can abuse somebody, can abuse somebody? I didn't say none of that. You ain't hear me say none of that. What I told you was God says there's one reason that he tolerates divorce, and this adultery. Well, I didn't have that. Well, I don't care. Then God didn't tolerate it. So you saying I can't leave? I didn't tell you that. What I said was, however you got in a situation, ain't got nothing to do with how you get out. So the minute he pick his hand up to hit you, don't hit him back. Don't do it yet. But you should run out the door. Now, you should be running out the door screaming, God, I don't know how I got in this mess, and I'm wrong, and it was a sin on my part, because obviously I didn't consult you, because this man is crazy. And run straight to the divorce court. Now, some people say, but you can't get a divorce. That's a lie. That ain't what Jesus said. Jesus said the only reason God tolerates it is for this,
So you can go to God and say, God, yeah, I walked out. I sure did. Left her right there. She lucky I ain't leave him and her there with a bullet. And God would be like, you right. You right. That's what he would say. Because I told you, adultery. Got it. But that ain't got nothing to do with God forgiving you. Why people can't understand that? You can go kill 50 people. God will forgive you. But you got a divorce. Oh, no, no, you better go back and find her. You got to unscramble every egg and try to put it back in the bottle. Really? It don't say that. All it says is, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Why you can't say that? You see, instead we create doctrine, and God's like, can we use the word? Yeah. See, if you use the word, it don't matter what come out of my mouth. I could sit here and try all day to make you feel guilty about your life. I could find stuff in here right now, I could tell you right now, that I ain't never done. Yeah, I'm just saying. I've never used drugs day in my life at all. I've never smoked reefer in any way, shape, form, or fashion, even tested it as a youth. Yes. And I can make my whole church about not doing drugs. Boy, every Sunday they come in and I'm like, drugs! Because I feel good in that area. Oh, but some ain't about to, oh, let's skip that part of the Bible. You ain't never going to hear me preach on that. Why? Because his life full of that. But God forgave him. See, God can forgive him for that. Oh, yeah, right. No, this is the whole counsel of God. The whole book. The whole book. Right. None is righteous. No, not one. So he gives us gifts so we can tell everybody. Look, y'all, if you're feeling bad, join the club because Jesus has forgiven us all. And just be happy about it. Don't let the devil get you down. You had an abortion? I'm sorry. But please do not let the devil make you believe that some kind of way God is going to bring that little baby to you. That's the devil messing with your head. You did something? Let it go. Are you sincere? Ask God to forgive you. There's nothing you can do about it. It's over. I hear everybody preaching at it. I hear everybody saying, you a murderer and you killed somebody and you did all of that. You know what? You got to let it go. You got to come to Christ, ask him to forgive you, and let it go. Now, let me tell you where there can be problems. There's some things that we do. You can't never really let it go. You got to let it go, but the world don't. Now, if you've been out there making movies, I'm just saying. The movies ain't going nowhere. The movie might show up at your church. The movie might show up at your job. The movie might show up a lot of places. It ain't going to show up in heaven. Well, Pastor, that's just not right. What you want us to do? Especially nowadays, everything on the internet is stuck. You can't get it off. There's some decisions we make that just haunt us our whole life. That's the one the devil really tries to fight you with. You got to stand now. You got to know you have been saved. Now, it's true. Some people might not never want you to be their pastor when they see that movie. And they might, everywhere you go, send that movie to the church you're trying to be pastor. You may never be pastor of nobody except the people who made movies like that. It's just a fact of life. You can't do anything about that. But you can stand knowing that what? God loves you still. God appreciates you still. And no matter how much them people that's sending them movies around, you know they got something. And God is going to hold them accountable for what they're doing. Because for whatever reason, they feel pretty righteous to be trying to condemn you on an ongoing basis and trying to follow you around. You just got to let it go. That's how you stand. That's the spiritual warfare. Now I'm fighting the devil. Now I'm coming up against him. Prayer. Prayer. Lord Jesus, the Bible says he say prayer. You need to pray. Look what he say, praying with all prayer. Every kind of prayer you come up with, pray. You ought to be praying when you sleep, praying when you wake, pray in the shower, pray when you drive. While you're texting, pray. When you're doing stuff, pray. People say, how you do that, Pastor? Keep Jesus on your mind all the time. Try to always be prayerful before God with all prayer. Why? Because that's what sustains you. Relationship, talking to God. My wife and I talk throughout the day. I mean, off and on throughout the day.
talk. You got to talk to maintain your relationship with God. Make sure that what you stay in there with God. Ask him for what you need. Tell him to strengthen you. Pray. Forget them demons. I ain't got to pray against you. I ain't got to cast you out. Jesus already took care of you. What I'm about to do is pray. God, please strengthen me. Give my mind strength. Father, help me to keep my mind on you. Let me stay on the right thing. When my eyes start to wander, let me pull them back to my head where they're supposed to be. Help me, God, to live out my life the way I'm supposed to. And then finally, he says, persevere. Persevere. We got truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, prayer. But then we got to persevere, y'all. That word means patience. Sometimes you just got to hang in there. The devil keeps swinging at you. Swing back. You know, he keep telling you this. Tell him back. This is what's going to happen to you. No, it's not. You're never going to get ahead. Yes, I am. You're never going to get out of debt. Yes, I am. You know, persevere. Stay in there. Don't give it 2 days. Me and my wife ain't getting along, Pastor. You told me to pray. I did, and it ain't work. That was yesterday, brother. We're going to need to give it a few more days. Can we work on it a little more? Persevere. Believe God. Have faith. Know that what? God can do it, but you got to hang in there. The Bible says, think about Job. The Bible says that Job went through all that hell he went through, but he persevered. And finally, what did God do? Paid him back double. You got to know it. You got to say to yourself, you know, I did a lot of things, but one thing I've never tried to do, God, is just offend you on purpose. That's just not how I wanted to live, you say. And even if I did, you even said that when we were yet sinners, you died for us. The word, put the word out there. Persevere in the word. And when you do that, sooner or later, folks, you're going to break through. It's just like dripping water on brick. The more you just let it drip, eventually get a hole in it. And guess what? Bam, that whole brick will fall apart just from that drip. You just keep hanging in there and hanging in there and hanging in there and just keep confessing the truth. Just keep speaking the truth. Jesus is in charge. Jesus is on the throne. Jesus, and anything I go through, I'm going to show you this and then I'm going to close. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 through 18. Put that up there for me. I want you to look at something. I want y'all to think about this and always. See, it says, pray without ceasing. And then the next verse, look at what this says. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that everything happening to you is good. God's will for you, though, is that in everything you're going through, give him thanks. Give him thanks. Why? Because there's something. See me? I'm telling y'all. I already know. If God had just cut me loose in my life, doing certain things all the time, my head is very hard. It is. I got a very hard head. I mean, you take a long time for you to convince me of some stuff. I'm just my heart. Pop, pop, pop. So God let me make some decisions. And I remember my mama used to say, boy, I don't know what you thinking. And I knew how it was going to go. I had a plan. And it went everywhere but my plan. And it turned me every way but loose. And when I got through, I found myself saying, boy, if I can make that decision again, I sure wouldn't make it like that. Why? Because God, like, I got to let you do this because that's who you are. See, everybody ain't like this. You parents know what I'm talking about. You could have children that are so different. One, you could say, sit down. The other, you say, sit down. I ain't sitting down. Or they tell you, I might be sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. Now, why are they like that? I don't know. But guess what? God knows we're all his children. And God has a set of things that he can allow you to. You doing it, though. Now, God ain't doing it. People say all the time, well, that means God. No, God didn't do it. God let you do it so you could go ahead on, mess it up. And he was watching the whole time like Job. He ain't let him kill you. He ain't let the devil kill you. But he sure let you go through, boy. You was catching. I almost wanted to die. But guess what? God was watching. God says, look, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you, to give thanks. Not that mess you're going through. So in other words, when I'm going through the mess, I'll be like, God, I just thank you today. I thank you that I'm still alive. I thank you that I can look at this situation and say to myself, this was stupid. It doesn't go with the word. I should have listened to you, but I didn't. And since I didn't, I'm catching hell. But thank you that I'm still alive. Thank you that you've given me the chance to recognize that the word is true. Thank you, God, because that's the will of God concerning you right now. Thank him. Thank him. Just thank him. I know it's rough sometimes because you look at it and you say, look, I'm going to give you a quick example. I promise y'all, and this is the end of it. I sold my car, so all I have right now is my truck. The other night, I was laying in the bed. My son might be listening to this. I was laying in the bed, and my wife comes in, and she says, Joseph wants to use your truck to go to Walmart for something. And I was like, okay, whatever. I'll sleep, right? Well, all of a sudden, once he was gone, I woke up, and I said, did I just tell her she could Joseph could take my truck? Because, see, Joseph had wrecked his car. Now, he didn't wreck it. He said somebody hit it. Don't matter. It's wrecked. So in my head, all I could think about was, man, if my truck get wrecked, I'm not going to have no vehicle. All I got is my motorcycle. I can't ride around on a motorcycle. I need my truck. I said, call Joseph. She called him. Where you at? He in the line checking out. So I don't know the time we're by. I said, how long it been? Call Joseph. I call him. I'm trying to put my grocery up, Daddy. My truck. He said, I'll just bring the truck. He brought the truck. He said, you know what you should do? You should sell me this truck. I said, I'm not selling you my truck. I just need my truck. Give me my truck. Why was I so concerned? Because I knew if that truck get wrecked tonight, it's my fault. It don't matter who hit him, how they hit him, or if he hit somebody. I ain't got no truck now. And you can't even rent a car right now for $800 a week for some lit car. I knew. I told my wife, I said, from now on, this is the new rule. When I am asleep, don't ask me nothing. Don't ask me no questions. I lied to give away anything in my sleep. Don't do it. I realized I was laying there all the time going, Lord, please don't let that boy wreck my truck. Please don't let it wreck my truck. You realize that when you make certain decisions, you're responsible for them. But God is saying, look, just pray. Thank me in the midst of what you're in, and I'll get you out. I'll get you out, but you got to understand, you got to learn what got you there. You got to be willing to change, make some decisions, do something a little different, because when it's all over, I'm molding you to make you what I want you to be. Well, what about my past? Forget that. I forgot it. You forget it. Don't let the enemy burden your mind. Your righteousness is in Christ. Put on the whole armor of God. Fight an authentic spiritual war, and you shall win. Every head bowed, every eye closed.